I heard a speaker one time, Bernie Stoltz, talk about we live our lives in moments, and it's in moments where we remember things and they change our lives. One of the first moments that I remember back when I was about 13, your age, was my first kiss. It was a moment that I'll never forget. I was at 4-H camp, and it was up in the Tahoe area, and there was this beautiful gal that I had a huge crush on, and without sparing you from all the details, it was a pretty memorable thing. You know, other times that were great moments that changed my life were around your age too, when I was graduating 8th grade. It was like, oh my gosh, this is the first time I'm going to graduate, and this is so cool. And then I went off to freshman year in high school, and it was like, oh my gosh, now high school. And then, you know, graduating high school and graduating college, those were really cool moments too. You know, another cool moment was getting a car and getting my driver's license when I was 16. So, you know, life comes with a lot of moments that are memorable, like first kiss, and, you know, other things that are even more memorable, like, you know, getting married and having kids and doing some cool stuff in life. And so today we've got a moment of influence, and that is confirmation. You know, when I think about a moment of influence, you know, when the bishop is about to put the sign of the cross on your forehead and anoint you with the chrism, he's going to say, be sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. And in that moment, I think there's three things that I would really encourage you to think about and ponder in this moment as you're preparing for that huge moment in your life and that basically the seal of confirmation. The first thing I would say is really just try to be present. You know, so many times in our lives we can get lost and trapped and not really appreciate the moment. And I would really encourage you just to be present in that moment, because as you've been preparing for confirmation for months now, you know, sometimes, you know, you can be, whether it's graduating 8th grade or whatever's going on in your life, we can lose track of the importance of that moment and kind of get lost in just the day-to-day. And so I'd encourage you to be present. And the second thing I would say is really just to be mindful. Being mindful that, you know, really feel the bishop's fingers when he puts them on your forehead and gives you that seal. And just to understand that this is one of the most powerful moments in your life. You know, I would say, honestly, you know, when I was getting confirmed back in 8th grade, I don't think I quite understood the moment. And I didn't quite feel the presence. I was kind of just going through the motions. And I was so grateful that I had my family and sponsors around me. But I don't think I really lived in the moment. And so I'd really encourage you to be present, be mindful. And the last thing is really just to focus. You know, a lot of times with focus, we focus on, you know, what we can in our lives. So I'd focus you and I encourage you to maybe find 5 minutes before Mass today and really just kind of center yourself, maybe pray to God however that looks for you. But just focus on the importance of what today's about. And so as we move in life, you know, there's really important moments. And a lot of what I've kind of been sharing with already has been this importance of listening to God. And I think that's the next thing I would share is as we, you know, progress, whether it's in confirmation or in life, so many times it's so important for us to listen to God, to really be aware of God in our lives and His presence. And I think one of the first things to be aware and to listen to God is to start with silence. You know, it's funny because so many times we hear that idea of, you know, God gave us two ears and one mouth, and we always try to talk a lot. And, you know, it's so important to use both those ears and really just to listen to God. And, you know, so many tangible things in my life that I've seen is, you know, I used to be the guy that was rocking out to Justin Bieber and Drake and all the good stuff with my earbuds when I was at the gym. And I started to realize that I was disconnecting with those that were around me at the gym and just giving me opportunities to say hi to other people. So I'd encourage you to to just take the earbuds out, you know, so to speak, today, and really just find that silence. Whether that's, you know, another thing I might say is, you know, if you're in your car, I'd encourage you to maybe turn the radio off a couple times and just be silent and let God speak to you. And, you know, how I would encourage you to listen to God is through prayer. I think prayer is one of the most important things of how we can listen to God. And, you know, some of the things where I've listened to God in the last month or so is, you know, my mom actually just passed away about a month ago, and it's been pretty difficult for me. And so, you know, I feel like maybe I've had a heightened awareness of listening to God, but it's really just been so dialed in. And, you know, these are a couple examples of where I felt like I was actually listening to God. And, you know, a couple days after my mom passed, I went to Four Sisters Cafe. It's a little breakfast restaurant in town where I live. And, you know, a couple days before, my mom's best friend had actually texted me a song that was actually one of my favorites, but that was one of my mom's favorite songs. And it was "Don't Stop the River" by James Bay. And the song played in the background in the restaurant where my dad and I were eating, and it reminded me of my mom. And just, you know, I could just feel God's presence speaking to me there. And a couple days also after she passed, I went and visited Kimberly, who was the hairdresser for my mom. My mom had so much enjoyment in her life when she went to go get her hair done from Kimberly, and I had always taken her, but I'd never actually gotten my hair done by her. It's kind of like a girl's salon, a lady's salon. So I didn't ever feel like it was my cup of tea. But, you know, went and saw Kimberly, and I could just feel my mom's presence there when I was speaking with Kimberly, and I was getting kind of emotional and could really just feel her, and I could just feel listening to God. You know, another time was a couple days after she passed, I heard a hummingbird in a parking lot, and my dad said, you know, that's unusual, that's not normal. And I said, yeah, you know, it's probably my mom speaking to us. And he said, yeah, you're probably right. So, you know, a couple times, a couple instances where, you know, just being a focused and listening to God and letting him kind of just let you know whether, you know, for me, he was just letting me know that my mom was there with me, and a couple hard days after she passed, and he continues to let me know that she's here with me every moment in time. So, you know, how we can listen to God, like I said, is through prayer. And how to listen to him, you know, I think it really comes down to three prayers. And there are three prayers that have meant a lot in my life. And that's the Our Father, Grace, and the Hail Mary. Our Father, you know, if you'd like to share, if you want to sing with, say with me now, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. You know, when I think of the Our Father, I think of a weekly Sunday Mass. You know, that's kind of the time when I say the Our Father most, and I need to do a better job in my own life with prayer, but that's been one thing that's been steady in my whole life is, you know, when you're holding hands and you're all in a community at Mass, and you're really giving praise to God. And, you know, I think one word that describes the Our Father for me is focus, you know, in terms of, you know, how to listen to God, and that's through prayer. You know, when you say the Our Father, it helps you kind of focus on, you know, truly what's important in life. And then there's grace, and that's, if you want to join me now, bless us, our Lord, and these thy gifts that we are about to receive from thy bounty through Christ our Lord. Amen. Grace has such a special place in my life. You know, it's something that I say daily. I think it's the one prayer throughout my entire life that I've said every single day. And it's so important because it's basically gratitude. I think one word that describes grace is gratitude, and I think that's, you know, for all of us that are faithful and being confirmed today, I think that's the best place to start is, you know, a place of gratitude and grace and being thankful that God's been here and given us this day. You know, I'll never forget, it was back in 2009. My family was going through some really financial tough times, and I'd just come out of being homeless and was starting to kind of get things back on the ground running with my family. And it was a really tough time. And there was a family, the Myers family. I'll never forget, they brought us over a Thanksgiving meal, like a basket. It had like a turkey and a couple canned beans and stuff in it. And I'll never forget after that day, you know, I'd always had said grace beforehand, but grace had such a deeper meaning for me afterwards. You know, I think the third prayer in terms of when we pray and how we can listen to God is through the Hail Mary. And if you want to join me now, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Such a powerful prayer. I think this is the prayer that just moves me so many times. You know, it's a prayer that kind of reminds me of a mother's love, you know, praying to Mary. And, you know, when I think of the Hail Mary, I think of need. I think of so many times, I can think of two specific times in my life when the Hail Mary was with me when I needed her the most. And they both were for the same reasons. And I'll never forget, I was laying by my grandma's bedside. It was my dad and I laying in the bed as she was in her last couple of hours before she passed away. And we said the rosary, and we said the Hail Mary, you know, 43 times or so. And it's such a time of need, and you know, God is always there for us in that time. And you know, the other time was when my dad had called me and he said, "Hey, come home soon now. You need to come home now." And I could just tell in his voice things weren't good, and I knew what it was going to be about. And he didn't say anything else other than "come home now," but I kind of had an idea what was going on. And in that instance, I just prayed the Hail Mary as many times as I could between San Francisco and Sacramento when I was driving early that night. And, you know, I got home to find out that my mom had passed. And I didn't know what I was expecting when I got there to Sacramento, but something just told me to, you know, pray the Hail Mary and pray to God. And so, you know, when we pray, we listen to God. And I think that's how to actually listen to him is through prayer. And so a question I would ask you is, you know, as we move through prayer, when was the last time you prayed to the Holy Spirit to make a decision or maybe just to help you? You know, I think it's really important for us to pray for guidance and to pray for God in our lives and just pray that maybe he can give you silence and he can help you think. You know, I guess the last thing on the prayer note is, why do we pray? Well, I think the first reason why is because Jesus did it a lot. You know, when you read the Bible, you see that Jesus prayed a lot. And, you know, I think the other two components of prayer is they help us stay focused on our mission, and they really help us remember what's truly important. Because when we pray to God, we're recognizing that there's something bigger in this life than ourselves. And, you know, prayer is a great way for us to listen to what he has to say. So with that, I guess I would ask us a question. And the question would be, in what ways do you sense preparing for confirmation is changing you? You know, it's interesting because when we think about preparation in the Catholic faith, you know, we think about Advent, which is the time before Christmas, and we think about Lent, which is actually the time we're in right now before Easter. You know, Advent and Lent are two important times in our Catholic faith where we're preparing for God. And in confirmation, we're preparing for him as well. And so I'd ask you to think about, how has this process actually changed you? And when we think about change, you know, it's important to start with this concept of habits. You know, I heard a great Catholic speaker, a couple weeks ago after my mom had passed. I went and saw this speaker in the El Dorado Hills area. And he said, "We change when our habits change," by Matthew Kelly. We change when our habits change. You know, it's a pretty powerful statement, and I've heard a lot of other speakers and mentors and coaches and friends all tell me the importance of habits. And, you know, I think concretely, you know, Matthew Kelly shared two great habits that I've already tried to implement in my life in the past month. And one is to journal when we're in Mass. You know, I'd always gone to Mass my whole life, you know, every Sunday, and try to take the most out of it and pray as much as I can. And I never really thought to actually bring a journal and to take notes. And Matthew Kelly, he shared with me, you know, you take notes in class because it's really important because you have a test. You know, isn't Mass and church something to take notes in? You know, one of the most important things is actually Mass. So, you know, habits of journaling, I think, would be important as we're progressing with our faith and confirmation. And then the other that he shared was making it a habit to read the gospel every day or read the Bible. You know, the gospel has Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in the gospel are the teachings that Jesus shares with us that are so important. And the Bible and journaling and Mass are two concrete habits that could actually help, you know, form and shape our lives and our faith. And so this idea of habits, you know, they can really impact our lives in our health, in our wealth, our relationships, and ultimately in our faith. Our habits are so important, and, you know, the daily habits that we do, whether they're small, big, or whatever, you know, can make a huge impact. And the last point I'd say about habits is we are what we celebrate. What I mean by that is the habits that we have in our lives, whether that's reading, whether that's playing music, whether that's exercise, whether that's daily prayer, the habits that we celebrate, those are who we are. And, you know, Matthew Kelly, that speaker that I saw, who's a great speaker, he said, "Tell me your habits and I can tell you what your future is like." And it's so important. And it's something that I'm still trying to understand, is how important those habits are. You know, when you think about the pictures that are on your bedroom wall, you know, a lot of times we've got pictures of athletes or people that are, you know, friends or athletes, that people that are maybe important in our lives. How many times do we have those pictures of faith, of family in our walls? And, you know, it's just something to kind of think about. We are what we celebrate. You know, what we celebrate is what we put on our walls, whether it's our bedroom walls or our Facebook walls. You know, when you think about your Facebook wall, what are we putting out there in order to help others and, you know, in order to be what we're celebrating and, you know, promote goodness and sharing the good news of who God is in our lives. So we have these habits, but the habits, what do they give us? The habits, they give us courage. It's a powerful thing, courage, because the habits that we do daily, our daily, you know, day-to-day actions, those habits are going to give us courage. You know, at age 13, I didn't quite know where I was at in life, but, you know, when you think about, you know, where will you be in 10 years from now? You know, from 10 years from now, say you're 13 years old, I think, you know, my math's not very good, but I think you'd be 26. And, you know, that's basically where I'm at. I'm 27. So, you know, where will you be in 10 years from now is, you know, kind of where I'm at. And, you know, making those decisions, choices, you know, the courage that it has from those habits of daily habits is to follow your heart, the courage to follow your intuition when making decisions. And really, you know, what I think confirmation is about is confirming you in the faith to decide between right and wrong, and the courage, you know, to say no to things. And confirmation, you know, I can think of three specific times in my life where my confirmation in this day and this moment played a huge impact on my life. And the first is, you know, from one of the most powerful things that's changed me in my life today. And, you know, that was around the idea of alcohol. You know, whether it was in high school or college, you know, a lot of people, you know, would always, I'd be at a party or something, and they'd say, hey, you know, have a little this, a little that. And, you know, those daily habits of prayer, of family and people that I surrounded myself around, you know, I tried to surround myself around, you know, the best people possible. And it wasn't actually until, you know, 2021 in college where, you know, I finally had my first sip, but, you know, it was this idea of, you know, having the habits to say no. I said no, you know, thousands of times. And it just wasn't right for me. I knew it wasn't a decision that I wanted in my life. You know, another story is from this idea of Yuba City. And, you know, there was a time in my life when I lived in Roseville, California, outside of Sacramento, and my dad was struggling financially, and we had a lot of things going on with my mom's health at the time. And so he decided to make this last decision to basically save our house from foreclosure and bankruptcy, and that was to start a new practice in Yuba City. And, you know, during the summer months when I was out of school, he said, hey, I need you to come with me and help me with this practice. And, you know, I don't know if I was really excited about going. It was like an hour commute every day, and it was in the heat of summer, and I was trying to help my dad grow his business, and I was young, and I'd rather be out, you know, wakeboarding or, you know, doing fun stuff with friends. And it was just this hard thing. And I had, you know, I knew that from confirmation, the courage to, you know, do what was right. And I knew at the time that was what was right, to help my dad and to help my family. You know, when we think about those Ten Commandments, I think it's the fourth one that says, honor your father and your mother. And, you know, I knew that was a time in my life where my dad needed me. And so I had the courage to be able to, you know, do that. And so it's those daily habits that we have that are going to help give us the courage for later on in our futures. And the last story I would share about courage is actually the one that's still near and dear to my heart today, and still kind of affects me a little bit, but I've prayed a lot and done the best I can. It comes from this idea of chastity and sex, for lack of other words. There was a time about a year and a half ago, I think, I went up to Tahoe with some guy friends, and, you know, I wasn't necessarily surrounding myself around, you know, the right people. At the time, I thought it was, but I got surrounded around some negative energy, and you know, frankly, I had too much to drink that night, which is a really rare thing for me, but it was just a fault of my own. And, you know, I met a girl at a nightclub, and we were dancing and this and that, and you know, things went on in that night, and I ended up getting, you know, sexually, there was some stuff that we got, you know, heated with and whatnot, and nothing too crazy happened, and nothing for me to, you know, not important for me to share the details, but that night played a huge impact on my life. And, you know, I'd always tried to stay pure and, you know, have God's just hand on me. And it was a hard moment for me to face. You know, as soon as I saw my parents, the next couple of days, I actually told them, you know, I told them that I kind of not really had sex, but just did some stuff that I wasn't proud of. And, you know, for the next month, every single day I went to mass, I went to church. It really played a huge thing on my conscience, and I just felt bad. And, you know, it was one of these concepts that, you know, those daily habits that gave me the courage to make those decisions between right and wrong. You know, I was really coming back to that idea of praying to God and listening to God, and, you know, eventually just hearing God. And he said, you know, it's going to be all right. You're okay. And, you know, you do the best you can to be a good person. And that's what I was, you know, really trying to do there. And so, you know, when we have the habits, when we have the courage, you know, that really gets us on to, you know, moving on and following confirmation. And so as we're here with confirmation today, let us remember, You know, let us remember a few things. When I was in college, the phrase, I went to a college, St. Mary's, over in the San Francisco Bay Area, and a lot of times we'd be at college and they'd always say, let us remember, and then we would all respond, let us remember that we are in the holy presence of God. It's pretty powerful. I didn't quite understand what it meant at the time, but, you know, St. John Baptist de La Salle, pray for us, live Jesus in our hearts forever. This idea of remembering the past in order to help us with the future and really just trying to be present in the moment. And so, you know, as we are getting confirmed today, let us remember that, yes, we are in the holy presence of God, but let us remember how we got here today. That was through baptism, first communion, and first reconciliation, and then obviously confirmation today. So let us remember those baptismal promises. You know, when we think about the timeline of confirmation, we start with baptism. And in baptism, we remember those baptismal promises. And I don't know about you, but for me, when I was baptized, I think I was like a couple days old. So I don't quite remember all of the things that I said I do to. You know, as you progress in life, and as you will today at confirmation, you'll renew those baptismal promises. But I think it's important for us to really just kind of center and focus and remember what those were. You know, in a nutshell, the first one was, do you reject Satan? And then, you know, for example, we would say, I do. And then, do you believe in God? I do. Do you believe in Jesus? I do. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? I do. You know, when we think about those baptismal promises, it kind of reminds us where we came from and how we got to where we are today. With confirmation, we started with baptism, where that helped us understand original sin and that God, you know, is here for us, and it's the beginning and start of our faith. And so baptism was really the start of, you know, basically the love and introduction to God and being, you know, truly loved and having his love come through us. And so then, you know, let us remember the next thing that happened in our lives, and that was First Communion and First Reconciliation. First Communion, I think, is one of the most powerful things about our faith. To me, to this day, I think it's the most important thing of our faith, you know, other than the prayer and the connection with God, is the Eucharist, the communion, is that physical presence of God in our bodies and in our lives. You know, as we go to Mass, you know, half of Mass is basically listening to the Word of God, and half of Mass is dedicated to the Eucharist and, you know, letting God enter into our bodies. And so, you know, the Eucharist is basically the gift of eternal life, that God died and he gave, you know, his bread, which is his body, for us to be reminded that every time we go to Mass or receive the Eucharist, that God is entering into our body and entering into our soul. You know, let us remember the reconciliation as well as spiritual coaching, because the spiritual coaching, just like with any good sports teams, I've played a lot of sports in my life and always had some really good coaches. And reconciliation is really, you know, another form of spiritual coaching, because whether it's in sports or in your faith, we all need good coaches. You know, good coaches like a priest that, you know, can hear our sins, and maybe we can acknowledge our weaknesses. And, you know, whether it's in sports or in faith, you know, we have to understand what our weaknesses are, and that way we can grow and become, you know, better. So, you know, let us remember our baptism, our first communion, and reconciliation. And, you know, let us remember today. I think today is so important with our confirmation, because today is a powerful moment. It's a day when we are sealed with the gift of the Holy Spirit. I mean, can't think of many more moments or days in my life or in our lives as a whole that are much greater than, you know, feeling the Holy Spirit. As the Holy Spirit enters our souls, and we find that peace and love and certainty. So You know, the greatest thing about confirmation is it's helping us confirm our faith and helping us have the courage to be able to make decisions between right and wrong for our future. But as we move forward from confirmation, I think it's also important to remember that we're continuously growing and we're continuously learning and we're continuously deepening our faith. Like I said, I just saw a speaker, Matthew Kelly, a couple weeks ago, and you know, he talked about the importance of journaling in Mass, and that's something I hadn't done before. So, you know, I'm continuously learning. I think we all are, to grow in our faith. And so with that, I think it's important for us to remember where we come from, baptism and reconciliation and confirmation. And as we go forth, you know, I think it's important for us to just think about the next big thing. And what's that? Well, I think the next big thing is tomorrow. Tomorrow, you know, is the next big thing, because as we fall asleep tonight and we're grateful for the confirmation we've received today, tomorrow is the next day, and it's the next time for us to act and be and seek through God. And you know, I think the mission of tomorrow, you know, as we go through confirmation today, the mission of tomorrow is really just to love God and spread the good news with your love and actions. And, you know, when we think about tomorrow, I've got a couple stories that kind of remind me about tomorrow. And the first comes from a donut shop a week or so ago. It was after my mom passed, and it was a tough time, and I was sitting in a donut shop by myself having a donut and a cup of water, and there was these two little girls and a mom that came in, and they were all chatty and giggly, and these girls get to the big glass counter of the donut shop, and they see these donuts, and they're picking out all these donuts, and her mom was helping them out, and so her mom gets to the front of the counter, and she pulls out a credit card, and the cashier, he said, "Oh, you know, our credit card machine's down. We can only take cash." And the mom, she recognized that she didn't have any cash. And so she told the little girls, "Hey, I'm sorry, we can't get the donuts today. Mommy doesn't have any cash." And the girls were disappointed. And, you know, the girls, they had to go put their chocolate milks back in the ice box. And mom was taking them outside. And they kind of had their heads down. And, you know, at that moment, you know, I thought I should do something. I got $10 in my wallet. $10 I was going to use on something else. And how important would it be to make somebody else's day? And so I opened the door to the front door of the donut shop, and I called out to the two little girls and the mom. I said, "Hey, I'll get the donuts for you. No big deal." And the girls lit up instantly, like, "Oh, yay." And the mom was like, no, it's fine. It's okay." I said, "No, please let me get the donuts." And so it was just a beautiful thing. I mean, it was so beautiful just to see how the girls lit up and were so thankful. You know, when we think about tomorrow, we're going to get confirmed today, but it's all those little things. It's, you know, I'm not saying you have to spend money, but it's helping people, and you can do that in a variety of ways. You know, another story of helping people is this girl, Brianna. It was this girl at Starbucks. On my 26th birthday, I actually went into a Starbucks, and there was this girl behind the counter that just was just kind of feeling down. You could kind of see it in her eyes and her face. And she just kind of like, "Hi, can I take your order?" And I kind of just lit up and was like, you know, "I don't really know. What do you think I should get?" And she started to kind of like laugh a little bit. And I was like, "Yeah, I don't really know. What's your favorite drink?" And she goes, "Oh, I don't know." And she kind of stopped and pondered. And I think eventually she said something like it, like macchiato or ice this or whatever. I don't even know what she said. I said, "Yeah, I'll get that." And she said, "Really?" I said, "Yeah, that sounds good." And so, you know, I got that drink, and she just had a huge smile on her face. And I'll never forget, you know, just making somebody's day. You know, when we think about tomorrow after getting confirmed, it's the little things. It's, you know, a smile or a hug or an acknowledgement to a stranger, but just doing whatever you can each day to let God's love, spread throughout your heart and to reach people where they are. You know, I guess the last story that I'd share with you about tomorrow and moving forward actually comes from a time when I was in high school. In high school, I put on the rallies. I was the rally commissioner. I'd put on the pep rallies for our school and whatnot. And in one of the rallies, I was, you know, trying to look for different ways to incorporate people. And I was walking around at brunch, you know, that'd be like recess or whatever in high school. And there was this really tall guy who was about 6'4", and he had a big black trench coat, and, you know, I think he had black nail polish on his nails, and just had a kind of an emo look, and just a really tall guy in a black trench coat, and I never knew his name, but he was always kind of by himself, and the fact that he was really tall, and the fact that he was in, you know, all black, I think he even had, like, these black boots with like metal on them, and just really stood out, and, you know, never really saw him smile a whole lot. And I just remember, hey, you know, I feel like maybe I could do something with myself and just being a agent for the common good and letting God's love shine through me. And so I went up to this guy at brunch one day and I said, Hey, how's it going? And he goes, hey, what's up? And I was like, hey, you're doing this juggling thing, because he was juggling like tennis balls. He juggled like 4 or 5 tennis balls just every day at brunch. And I was like, hey, would you like to do the juggling in a rally? And he was like, yeah. And I was kind of like, well, what's your name? And he goes, my name's Jason. And I said, well, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Freddie. And so long story short, about 2 weeks later, Jason, in front of the whole school, is juggling as a cool little act that was in the rally. And the whole crowd went wild, and they were like, oh my gosh, that was awesome. And he actually even juggled fire. He juggled fire in the rally. It was insane. And, you know, I think it was a week later, you know, Jason, he came up to me kind of in private. I think it was actually probably during brunch. And he said, hey, Freddie, I want to thank you so much. And I said, no problem, man. That was awesome. You did a great job. He goes, no, it really meant a lot. I really want to thank you. You know, people didn't even know my name, and they still don't know my name, but they just say hi to me and acknowledge me. They're like, hey, juggler dude, you rock, man. That was so cool. And he's like, thank you, Freddie. And, you know, we walked away, we went our separate ways. And I don't know how much that changed his life, but it changed my life just with this idea of giving. I think one of the greatest things about our Catholic faith and what you can take forward from confirmation is to continuously give. Because, you know, I think about all the greatest people in my life, my grandma and my mom, my dad, my family, my mentors, my friends. You know, they've all given so much. And at the end of the day, God, you know, gave his life. And he really gave his life for us to understand eternal life. And I think if there's one thing I could leave you with about confirmation, it's that today is about truth. And today is about the importance of living every single day for the rest of your life. And I guess essentially today is about tomorrow. you know, what are you going to do tomorrow that's going to essentially, you know, help you in your process and your journey to heaven? And, you know, I'm so grateful to be here with you guys today. It's kind of a reminder of my mom, and I know that she and God speak through me, and hopefully you can find God's love. And I just encourage you, like I said, to just take 5 or 10 minutes before confirmation today and really just center yourselves and find God's presence and just focus on the moment, because this is a beautiful moment. It's a moment that you'll never forget, that I'll never forget. And I guess the last thing I'd say is, you know, what the priest normally says at the end of Mass, is peace be with you, and go forth in peace and love and serve the Lord. So